Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection on a Tuesday. Our phone number is 877-573-7825. Hope your day is going well so far. It's the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul today, so I think it's kind of fitting talking about the work of Mother Teresa, who worked with the poorest of the poor, of course. Mother Teresa and me, 10 years of friendship by my friend Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, whom I also call Ethel, a.k.a. Ethel. We nicknamed each other Lucy and Ethel because of the experience we had when we went to the Congress in Rome on women, and we had a blast, and we're very moved, and of course, they're still learning and growing from that experience, but we also were actually like Lucy and Ethel, as if we had never been to Rome before. We had both been to Rome before, but we were stumbling around like blubbering idiots at one point with our luggage, and it was just a comedy act, so that's how we call each other Lucy and Ethel. Hey, Ethel, how are you?
Hey, Lucy, it's great to be back. How are you?
I am good, and so another edition. This is a new edition, right? The latest edition of this book, correct?
Yes, it's a new edition because Circle Press went out of business shortly after the book was released there, and so our Sunday Visitor wanted to pick it up, and so they published it and has a brand new, beautiful cover with new scans of some of the letters Mother Teresa sent me and a few little additions, just tiny little stories I added.
Now, let's talk about your friendship. How did this all begin?
Well, through Father John Hardin, mm-hmm. a wonderful saintly man up for canonization right now. He was my spiritual director, and he, a family friend, and he invited me to go to Washington, D.C. with my family just to visit with him for face-to-face. And I had no idea Mother Teresa was in the country at the time or that he would introduce me to the sisters there, the Gift of Peace House. And so, you know, once we were down there, he told us about it. And since I always took my children around to nursing homes and hospitals to as an apostolate to, you know, mm-hmm. bring cheer to the people there, you know, who are lonely, we went and visited the sick in the home for the dying there at the Gift of Peace home. And that's where it all happened. We were invited back by the sisters to come to Mass the next day, a private Mass. And we didn't know, you know, that we would meet Mother Teresa, but they told us at that point that she was there and that she would be at one of their masses. And she said, you can come to either one. I don't know which one she'll be at. And so we opted for the early Mass, and that's where she walked in and walked right past me and knelt down on the floor beside us. And that's, I recount as much as I can of each moment of the first encounter with her and then the ones afterward, you know, in my book, Mother Teresa and Me, 10 Years of Friendship.
Now, what's it like for you to actually have letters from her? She is a blessed, and she, her cause for canonization, of course, is still being considered. What is that like for you?
Well, it's in one sense, it's like unbelievable if I stop to think about it, but our Lord keeps me so busy that, you know, I don't often sit and ponder it. I know that, you know, the letters and her words and all of the time I spent with her, you know, on the occasions after that first meeting, you know, penetrated my heart and just really live in my heart. And I feel that, you know, I try and I pray and I strive to do what she told me to do, which was, you know, in one of her letters she said, continue to bring others to Jesus through Mary. Be the sunshine of his love and compassion to them and bring many souls to God. God loves you. Give him your heart to love, your will to serve him. Pray the rosary daily. Our Blessed Lady will lead you to her son. Keep the joy of the Lord as your strength. And these are words, some of the letters that I felt I could share with others I put in the book because I feel these are words that we could all, you know, take to our hearts and we could all apply to our lives and to, you know, carry those words out. So that's why I chose to share these blessings, because I can't keep them all to myself. So you said, you asked me, how does it feel? Well, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. I feel so blessed, but I feel our Lord wants me to share the blessings, and that's what I try to do.
Did you expect this to result in a 10-year friendship when you met her and wrote that first letter?
Oh, not at all. I felt so blessed to have that encounter and to have what happened in that convent. I just was so pleased and so thankful and so surprised, but, you know, our Lord had a plan, and that friendship developed, and it continued over just about 10 years of time with you know, 12 or more additional meetings with her, some private and many, many letters, 22 to be exact, and even a phone call between Calcutta and Connecticut. So I had no idea. God, you know, keeps us on our toes and keeps us blessed and surprises us with sanctity.
You probably were also surprised after several years after she died that word came out that she was going through such a long, extended dark night of the soul, especially to be on the inside, so to speak, to be able to receive letters from her, encouraging letters and beautiful letters that inspired you. What was your reaction when you heard about her long struggle?
Well, on one hand, I was, you know, a bit surprised because she never let on. She always smiled, and you can see in her eyes that she did suffer, you know, just as many holy, as the saints all have suffered in many ways, and but you knew that she had the joy of the Lord as her strength, just like she said in that letter to me I just read a little piece of to you. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised in one sense, but in another sense not surprised, because I knew how holy she was and that she, that our Lord allowed her to experience a dark night of the soul in such an intense way that she actually felt that abandonment that Jesus felt when he mm-hmm. hung from the cross. You know, and she wanted to be just like him. She wanted to suffer like him. She wanted to love him like no one else ever had. And that's the makings of a saint right there, you know, that desire and that deep longing to love Jesus that way. And so our Lord gave her that blessing of those feelings so she could offer them back to him, you know, and get some help from her spiritual directors by, you know, just confiding in them, this is what's happening, I feel awful, I feel like a failure, but she never gave up on faith, like the Time magazine tried to say, mm-hmm. oh, this was a crisis of faith. But no, it wasn't a crisis of faith, it was a dark night of the soul, and a faithful woman putting one step, you know, one foot in front of the other each day, walking in faith. Why would she continue that for 50 years
right.
if she wasn't a faithful person?
But you know, that's a very important lesson, though, because people need to know that. I mean, even I mean, if you look at the saints, as you said, so many of the great. We just had, the feast day of St. Padre Pio last week and the suffering
beautiful.
That he endured, or St. Joan of Arc, or any of the great saints. The suffering was huge, a huge part of their life. And yet, when we come upon it, we're like, oh, I don't want this. Just move this aside. You know, but that's part of the process of learning to grow in that suffering, which is probably one of her biggest lessons. And, yeah, you're right about the media, the way they took that story. Was they were so quick because mm-hmm. she was Catholic, you know, to say, oh, well, see, this faith thing is a bunch of baloney, because even Mother Teresa mm-hmm. struggled. Well, hello, read the Psalms, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Pick up the Bible. There'd be a concept for them.
Pick up the Bible, read about any of the saints. And,
right.
And a lot of it is ignorance, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have attacked the church throughout history, but some of it, too, is ignorance. They don't understand that. Why would anyone want to embrace suffering, or why would a good God allow it? So it's part of the road to sanctity, and you know, to be able to pick up our cross and, like he says, you know, each day and carry it and in love of him.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back to wrap up with my friend, author and speaker, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. She's a widely published author and a very popular speaker, as well as EWTN host. Your books include not just the one we're speaking about today, Mother Teresa and Me, 10 Years of Friendship, but also A Catholic Woman's Book of Prayers, Our Sunday Visitor, A Catholic Prayer Book for Moms, also Our Sunday Visitor, and Catholic Saints Prayer Book, also Our Sunday Visitor, and many more. We'll be right back with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. We'll tell you about her website as well. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. Again, that's toll-free, 877-573-7825. Wrapping up with Lucy and Ethel when we come back on a Tuesday. Mother Teresa and Me, 10 Years of Friendship by Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, and I was blessed to write the foreword for this book. Newly released from Our Sunday Visitor. It was first published by Circle Press, and now Our Sunday Visitor, a wonderful publishing company, has the book, Mother Teresa and Me, 10 Years of Friendship, by our guest and my friend, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. Donna, how do we get the book, first of all?
Well, many, many ways. You can get an autographed copy at my website, www.donnacooperoboyle.com, DonnaCooperOboyle.com. I have a sale going on there. Of course.
Oh, I love a sale.
Yeah. And of course, your Sunday Visitor's website, to your local Catholic bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera, et cetera. But, yep, it's exciting. And Mother Teresa's pushing me forth to, you know, spread the blessings that I have received. You know, Teresa, one of the most wonderful things I think about her was whether she's speaking with Pope Paul the Sixth or Pope John Paul II or Princess Diana or a leper or a person she pulled out of the gutter covered mm-hmm. in worms or me, a suburban housewife. She treated everyone with equal dignity, and she saw Jesus within everyone because she lived that gospel of Matthew, mm-hmm. whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. And that was, you know, how she lived her life. It's just she prayed that, you know, the Eucharist she received and during the Mass, and she would see that broken bread in the bodies of the people, you know, mm-hmm. the broken Jesus and the wounded and the lonely. And so she prayed to see Jesus and to serve him in one another. And that's why she wasn't just a social worker or someone who was just very helpful. She was a woman who served Jesus.
Do you ever grab those letters and take them out when you're having a bad day?
I don't usually have a lot of time, but I have. Yes, I have. I have once in a while taken them out and looked at them. You know, or especially when I was putting this book together and choosing mm-hmm. the ones that would go in the book, or at certain times, you know, I do look through them and I just read those words again and they have even a new meaning for me. You know, and it's just amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. What a gift. Now, what are you working on? Are you working on a new book right now? What are you working on? What are some of the projects?
Like several. Well, I have one coming out called Embracing Motherhood.
I remember you telling me about that one. Mm-hmm.
That's with a servant. And actually, I'm going out to Cincinnati to do an audio version of it very soon. That'll come out in January, both versions. And I did 25 more of my segments on EWTN, Everyday Blessings for Catholic Moms.
25? Holy
25
cow.
More. I know. I know. I said, God keeps me busy.
We're doing Catholic View for Women, but it's not 25. We have to tape 13 episodes in March, but 25. Of course, yours are shorter. Yours are what?
Yeah, I have the shorter
minutes?
Ones. Yeah, but they take a lot of time.
Well, you have the setup and everything, yeah. Yeah.
I love your show, Teresa.
Thanks.
It's beautiful. It's just what Catholic women need.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. And I'm so glad it's going to be a forever show, you know.
Yes, God willing. And it's going to start to be a regular series next September is when they're shooting to air the series. And so we still have the website, and we're keeping everyone posted. Now, when's your next speaking event if people want to follow you?
Oh, they can check my website. I have a bunch up there. I don't have them on the tip of my tongue, but I'll be going out to Kalamazoo, Michigan. Is that any place near you?
About 3 hours west. Kalamazoo is on the western part of the state. Yeah, over by Lake Michigan. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be there at the beginning of November, November 4th and 5th.
I'll be in Seattle. You'll be in Michigan. I'll be in Seattle.
Oh,
we're going
to
cross
paths. We'll have to meet up in Rome sometime. I think that's what we need to do to get a cup of
sounds like a plan to me.
Break another cappuccino machine.
Yeah. Yeah, don't have to twist my arm to go to Rome. Just
I know.
You know. Any excuse at all, I'll jump on a plane and go there. But, I just enjoyed seeing you at the Catholic Marketing Network. That was so much fun.
That was so much fun. That was wonderful. Yes, it was great. We finally got to see each other again. And hopefully we'll have something else coming up that we can get together and sit down and have a cup of tea or something.
When you do your speaking, what moves you the most in terms of giving a presentation? Is there any particular topic? I mean, I know motherhood is very near and dear to you, obviously, but what else you like to speak about?
I speak about the demands for perfection that women face and deal with from our culture. I do actually talk about that in that new book, Embracing Motherhood. Just all the crap, excuse me, all the garbage out there in the culture that we, you know, need to sift through and protect our children from and sift through to find the right messages. You know, women are constantly confused, unfortunately. They're the ones that are targeted. So
That's exactly why I wrote Extreme Makeover, because women are the target. That's what motivated me.
Exactly. I can't wait to see that one. That's so needed. So I like to speak about, you know, that sort of thing, how to protect your family, how to go deeper in the faith, and a lot of prayer. I do speak a lot about prayer. I weave in lots of stories about Mother Teresa and the lessons of love that I learned, and just simple things like, you know, even just how she said it's easier to serve a dish of rice to someone far away than it is to serve that dish of rice to someone in your own home. Mm. Meaning, you know, if you're running around trying to save the world and you know, and you think you have to go do it in Calcutta, hello, what about your husband who misses you, or your teenage child who maybe is going through some problems, and you think you have to do all of these other things, but Mother Teresa always said, love begins at home.
That's right.
So we need to really focus at home first and make sure everything is taken care of. And then if our Lord is calling us to broaden our reach and to, you know, then we do that as well.
Yeah. Donna, thanks, sweetheart. We're out of time, but I really appreciate you being with us. And again, DonnaCupoBoyle.com. Talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.